Welcome back, everybody. For the Numbers, presented by FTNFantasy.com. My name is Adam Pfeiffer here on August the 1st. Holy crap, it's August. There's football on tonight. Kind of. We're going to watch it. Caleb Williams isn't playing, but we're going to watch it. And we'll continue the tiers of each position here on the podcast. Did the quarterbacks on Wednesday, and for whatever reason, usually the order is quarterback, running back, wide receiver, but we're going straight to wide receivers today. And to do that, I have a great guest, Heath Cummings from CBS Fantasy. I was on the Dynasty Pod with Heath, the CBS Dynasty Pod with Heath last week, so we have like a nice home and home here this week. Heath, what's going on? Appreciate the time. Are you excited about football? Will you be watching it? I mean, we're all going to watch it in some capacity, right?
So I have kind of a mixed relationship with this time of year, because I'm really excited to have like news back and quotes to digest. And I like watching the highlight videos. And then at the same time, it's like, do we really have to act like we're going to react to everything? And I'm not the super biggest fan of preseason football, especially since the coaches decided, you know what? We don't actually have to play our good players in those games.
I hope we don't get a Josh Jacobs situation from last year when he got all this run in the Hall of Fame game and we all, and not that he was like this amazing fantasy player last season, like he was fine when he was healthy, but like that was legitimately a thing and I definitely fell for it. So it's always interesting trying to, you know, try to find out exactly what is important and what isn't, but I don't know if we'll take too much away. Like if Rome Odunze makes an awesome play in the preseason, am I going to be like, move him up? Like, I already love Rome Odunze. Like, I just, it's tough though.
Well, and that's the thing is like, I feel like we spend 2 months before training camp starts reminding everybody not to pay too much attention to what happens during training camp in the preseason. Mm-hmm. And when we get to like October, we're going to be like, I can't believe I fell for this in training camp. But when we're right in the thick of it, it's so hard to like not hear Brian Thomas Jr. is the fourth wide receiver for Jacksonville. And like, oh man, am I too high on Brian Thomas Jr.? Just that type of thing is, it's hard to ignore.
I still remember Amir Abdullah's rookie season, the long run he had in the preseason, and then Twitter was going crazy. So it's going to happen, but it's all in good fun. Heath joining me to talk about wide receiver tiers today. But first, Heath, what's going on over at CBS Fantasy? I know you guys are doing a lot. Like I mentioned, you not only are part of the, you know, the redraft Fantasy Football Today podcast all the time, but you are the host of the Dynasty Pod as well. So a lot going on there.
Yeah. It's all of the things are happening right now. In terms of redraft, we just did the first edition of our pick by pick draft, where we just kind of break down picking from certain spots in the draft. Those articles coming out today and tomorrow. Personally, on the Dynasty side, like, once a week, we're doing FFT Dynasty and talking to some of the best analysts in the industry, yourself included. And then we're right at the beginning of our St. Jude draft prepping for charity month, where we just raise as much money as we can for St. Jude. Raised over $100,000 last year. We're going to top that this year. I'm heading to Memphis next week for a creator draft on location at St. Jude. So really, like I said, it's the best time of the year because there's only cause for optimism. Nothing's gone wrong yet.
Yeah, and love the St. Jude every year you guys do. That's awesome. And yeah, you said 100,000 last year. That's amazing. So awesome stuff. Make sure you check all that out. And yeah, nothing. All of us are right so far, but we only have about a month of that left. And then things are going to go terribly wrong. Hopefully not too much, though. But not many things going to go wrong with the top wide receiver tier. Who is it for you, though, Heath? Because it's interesting this year, because I think for everybody, it's at least CeeDee Lamb and Tyreek Hill. And then it's kind of like, who else do you add? For me, I have, like, so the tier for me, like, I have the top five receivers in the same tier. Chase, Lamb, Hill, Jefferson, Amon-Ra. But clearly, like, you know, that's why it's always interesting when you go by tiers and rankings separately, because, like, is consensus now all of a sudden that Justin Jefferson's at the bottom of that tier? Is it Amon-Ra? But is that one tier for you, or is it kind of split between, like, Lamb and Tyreek's a tier and then a second tier with the remaining three? What's it like for you with the top five?
You know, when I put together my tiers for the first time this year, like, I think you have to kind of choose your spots of where you're going to have the small tiers, because it wouldn't be hard for me to make the argument that it should be a two-man tier at the top and then a three-man tier and then maybe a two-man tier. Like,
right.
But are you going to have 500 tiers? So for this first tier, I actually, because there's really not a consensus, I agree with your five, but I'm going to include AJ Brown. Because okay. I do believe, so I'm going to go with six. I do believe AJ Brown is the other guy in that group that's just a surefire first round pick in all PPR formats yeah. and half PPR formats. And he's also maybe in my mind a little bit underrated in terms of the potential that he could be the number one wide receiver. You look what he did last year, and if he just has like a normal AJ Brown touchdown season, I think it seems way more possible that he could just finish the year as the number one wide receiver. With Kellen Moore showing up in Philadelphia, I think it's possible that their pass rate goes up significantly. If that happens and they keep the targets as you know, clustered as they have been, then AJ Brown might just be your number one wide receiver. So I'll go Tyreek, CD, Jefferson, Brown, ARSB, and Chase in no particular order.
Yeah, so AJ Brown is super interesting because I don't have him in this tier, and I hope he doesn't finish as the wide receiver one because I am insanely high on Devonta Smith this year, as we talked about on the Dynasty Pod last week. But yeah, AJ Brown is like for me, he's still a top, what, eight selection in PPR formats. I love the entire offense. I am probably one of the few in the industry that actually has Ja'Marr Chase as the top wide receiver this year, which is pretty interesting. And it's been before like the whole CeeDee Lamb contract holdout stuff. Like, I just think we haven't seen the best from Chase. I think he could actually have a season similar to what we just saw from Lamb. Like, that would not surprise me. You look at Chase last season, obviously didn't play as much as he would have liked with Joe Burrow. But weeks 5 through 10, Joe Burrow finally got over that calf issue. During that span, you know, week 5 game, Chase went crazy. It was like almost 200 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Cardinals. But from weeks 5 to 10, Chase, alongside a healthy, finally, Joe Burrow, 8 catches per game, 11 targets, 107 receiving yards, just over 24 fantasy points per game, which would have been better than what Tyreek and CeeDee Lamb averaged. So it's a little bit projecting, and you hope Burrow's healthy. But I think Chase is in line for a monster season. But yeah, these are obviously the elite of the elite. Would you be surprised? Would you be more surprised if AJ Brown finished as the overall wide receiver one or Justin Jefferson? Or is that a dumb question? It's still Jefferson.
I would still be more surprised if AJ Brown yeah. did. But like, I just don't think there's as much of difference. Like, I think actually in my projections, I have a much bigger difference between Tyreek and Lamb than I do between Jefferson and AJ Brown, or Chase and AJ Brown, or Amon Ross St. Brown and AJ Brown. So like, if I was doing it just by like if you're separated by too many points in the projections, it's a new tier, it'd be Tyreek and Lamb. And then it'd be the next four because AJ Brown's right in the mix with those other guys.
Let's go to the second tier. What does it look like for you?
This is the place where I choose to just make a one-man tier, and I'll tell you why. It's Puka Nacua.
Okay. And for me, real quick, since A.J. Brown's in my second tier and not my first, it's A.J. Brown, Puka, right. And I have Garrett Wilson this tier.
Yeah, I think like Puka is a guy who's going to like definitely to determine some leagues this year because you have a rookie wide receiver who did what he did. And that in a vacuum is like, well, year two, he should be a tier one guy for sure. Like, he might be the best wide receiver in fantasy this year. But then you've got the mitigating factors of Matthew Stafford's age. Is Cooper Kupp now 100%? And was he not 100% last year? He does feel like a risky first round pick in our pick by pick series. I took him at 11th and I wrote in the article, like, he's the guy, the pick that I might regret. But the upside is just the way Sean McVay draws things up for his number one wide receiver. I think I've heard more people talk about the risk if Cooper Kupp bounces all the way back, and not enough people talk about the fact that Kupp passed the age of 30 with his hamstring issues. Like, what if he's just not Cooper Kupp anymore?
Yeah. And I think we should be like, however high you are in the Rams offense, it honestly might not be high enough because in the games where Stafford, Kyren Williams, Puka, and Cooper Kupp were actually healthy and played the majority of the snaps last season, analytic wise, this was the second best offense in the NFL behind San Francisco. Like, they were that good in those games. They were second in offensive DVOA. They were averaging 28.5 points per game. They scored 30 plus in like half of those games. Like, they were unbelievable. So, and even if Cooper Kupp stays healthy and has, you know, 70% of like the monster seasons he used to have, like, Puka's still going to be really good. The question is it going to be first round? Maybe it'll be second round worthy good. I'm in a like my most important redraft league. We've known where we're selecting for months now, and I'm at the 10 spot. And I like, it's weird because you would think, oh, you definitely want Puka, but like, I kind of want Garrett Wilson to be there, just because like, I think Garrett Wilson is going to go crazy this season. And I still maybe it's me just being foolish and still going back to that one preseason game he played with Rodgers, and they had that Davante Adams-esque touchdown connection in the red zone. And I'm saying, oh, maybe we'll see that 13 times this season, because obviously the efficiency has been great because of the quarterback play and the touchdowns. That's all. But the volume's been amazing. And like, I don't think Mike Williams is coming in and taking meaningful volume away from Garrett Wilson, who, if you look at it, since 2022, the only players with more targets than Garrett Wilson are Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, and CeeDee Lamb. He had like 40. This offense was literally Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson. And if you look at, obviously, the fact of Rodgers being healthy, even if he's not a top 10 quarterback, what if he's like the 12th best quarterback in the league this year? It's still unbelievable for Garrett Wilson. Jets, since the last two seasons, they've been 26th and 30th in red zone scoring attempts per game. Like, just give Garrett Wilson like that 8, 9, maybe 10 touchdown season on top of the 150 targets he's getting. I think Garrett Wilson, I'm not breaking news, I just think Garrett Wilson, to me, it's weird because he's been a little bit disappointing given the circumstances, and Puka just had the best rookie season ever, but I still lean Garrett Wilson. They're still in the same tier, but I still lean Garrett, which is just weird.
Yeah, I think, like I said, that's kind of why I have to put Puka. Because there's a whole group of guys like Garrett Wilson who I'm pretty sure are going to break out, but I haven't actually seen anything anywhere close to 1,400 yards. And so I've got to give Puka a little bit more credit for that than those other guys.
Going forward, like, tier three is kind of interesting because I'm assuming Wilson's in this tier for you. But then, like, this is where you start to really – the rankings and tiers can start to really – sway, because like, I'm higher on certain players than other people are, but then you also have the veterans. Are they still in this tier? Someone like Davante Adams, someone like maybe Mike Evans, if you're still high on him despite him being 30 years old. Then you have, this is where you start to see Marvin Harrison Jr. So what does tier three look like for you?
Yeah, it is Evans for me, along with Marvin Harrison Jr. In full PPR, I would put Pittman and Waddle in there as well.
In tier three?
Yes.
Okay, I love this because I have seen so many people. Michael Pittman's in this tier for me as well. I love Michael Pittman. I don't understand why. Like, every time I look at the ADP, especially over on Underdog, he's like wide receiver 20, 22, 21.
Right.
And I guess the only concern I guess people are having with him that don't want to draft him is, oh, we've barely seen him with Anthony Richardson. We need to understand this offense with Shane Steichen is literally tailor-made for Michael Pittman because, again, he is not anywhere close to A.J. Brown. He's not the same player. He's not as good. I'm not saying that by any means. But he's in the A.J. Brown role in the Shane Steichen offense where it's RPOs. They run RPOs almost 20% of the time, highest rate in the NFL. And according to FTN data, Michael Pittman had like 55% of their RPO targets. So if you're getting somebody, obviously you can't just, you know, sit in the pocket and throw in an RPO. You have to get the ball out immediately. Those plays are literally predetermined to go to Michael Pittman. And it's the highest RPO team in the league. It's a player that's good. Maybe you haven't liked the touchdowns and all that stuff. But I just think, for me, like you said, especially in full PPR, he belongs in this tier. I also have Chris Olave, Marvin Harrison Jr., and I still have Davante Adams in this tier. I understand. I just watched him play football. He's still really good. I think Gardner Minshew, if he starts, is good enough. The only thing I am slightly concerned about is just like, we know this team wants to run the football and play defense. Right. How much does Brock Bowers take away on top of if, you know, Michael Mayer still has a role? But from a overall just production and like ability standpoint, I don't think he's really taken a huge step back. So I'm still giving him the respect in this tier.
Well, and I think like it's tough with those older guys, because I leave Evans in this tier and he's the only older guy. Like, looking forward to the next tier, Cooper Kupp, Davante Adams, Amari Cooper, Stephon Diggs. Like, there's four guys that are at a pretty similar place in their career. It's just, for me, Evans has the fewest question marks. And actually, last year, not only did he not show any signs of dropping off, but was more efficient than we'd seen the prior years and was right there in terms of what he was yards per game. He actually saw just about the same target share. I don't see any reason at all to doubt Mike Evans. I can doubt Davante Adams because I don't know who his quarterback's going to be, or Cooper Kupp because I don't know if he can stay healthy, or Amari Cooper because I don't know if Deshaun Watson can stay healthy. But I just don't have – I can't find anything to doubt with Mike Evans.
Talk about Jalen Waddle, because he's in the fourth tier for me, but – and I always go back to this with Jalen Waddle. Obviously, last year, you almost kind of have to partially throw away because he missed games and then missed – large percentage of snaps in a lot of the games. Played in one game, I believe it was, about Tyreek against the Jets and went crazy. But I'm just waiting for whatever reason. I don't want to say forever. For whatever reason, obviously Tyreek Hill is arguably the best wide receiver on the planet. Obviously, he's running your offense. But all of those pre-snap motion and scheme touches go to him, and like none of them go to Waddle. They just have him run posts and stuff. Which I guess makes sense if you want to go, you know, run your offense levels and kind of keep the defense, you know, having to defend both. But if we can just get an uptick in those pre-snap motion scheme touches for Waddle, like, I like him, but I would like him even more. It's just all of them go to Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, and that would be better. I think if you, like, you just have to decide if you think Jalen Waddle is injury prone, because that was the problem with last year. Yep. There were too many games that he didn't play a full game. He left early. In the games that he played at least 60% of the snaps, he was right at 15 fantasy points per game, just like he was the year before. And I think there's more upside than that. One thing that Jacob Gibbs has done a good job of talking about is how many more rushing touchdowns the Dolphins, and really rush attempts, the Dolphins had last year. And it was entirely because of game script. Right. They didn't change their neutral splits.
Broncos game. Like,
right. They had a ton. Like, they had a 3-score win over Carolina. They had Giants. A 30-point win over Washington. They beat the Jets by 30. Yeah. It was just blowout after blowout, and their defense is not going to be as good as it was last year. I don't believe.
I mean, I felt the same way, because Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb coming off those horrible, horrible injuries. We'll see when they get those guys back. But then, like, they lost a lot of players. I mean, the pass rush got worse. They lost, obviously, you have those two players coming back, and then you obviously lost Christian Wilkins. So, yeah, I like Waddle a lot. Like, he is one of my favorite players to draft in that third round, if he's there. Sometimes he goes in the second in, you know, wide receiver heavy formats. But also, like, Tua for fantasy isn't going to be in those top couple tiers because he doesn't give you rushing production, but he's live to lead the NFL in passing yards again, like every year. Like, so that's going to help Jalen Waddle quite a bit. Let's go to tier four. Are we going to see some more veterans? Is this where I guess it's a nice mixture for me, but what does tier four look like for you?
This is really, for me, where the mega tier happens. And I've talked about this on FFT a lot. You go from wide receiver 14 in my projections down to wide receiver 29, and there's a 10-point difference for the entire season. So basically, like, half a fantasy point per game difference between those 11 or 12 wide receivers. And I can't really see much reason to tier most of them in a different place. So we talked about the veterans, Kupp, Adams, Cooper, and Diggs. I've also got Olave, T. Higgins, George Pickens, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Stephon, all three Texans wide receivers, Devontae Smith, DJ Moore, Brandon Ayuk, Drake London.
I was going to say, there was one player who I didn't hear. I couldn't tell if I just misheard, but okay, there's Drake London.
And DK Metcalf.
Yeah, it's pretty similar for me. It's a lot of the guys you mentioned, Evans, Ayuk, Collins, DJ Moore, Debo, Cooper Kupp. This is where I have Waddle. I don't have Devonta Smith, obviously leads this tier. He's like one of my favorite players to draft in fantasy. Metcalf and then Cooper. I don't have Stephon Diggs in this tier.
Well, that's okay. You're a little bit hurt that he left. No, I like If looking at my projections, I have it Nico, then Tank, then Diggs. So I do have him as the third wide receiver on the team. I've got a pretty low degree of certainty as to how they're going to chop up the touchdowns, how they're
like,
going
to chop
Stroud up
the targets.
If Stroud
doesn't throw for 45 to 5,000 yards and 35 to 40 touchdowns, there's a good chance two of these guys are just absolute disappointments at their ADP. Like,
yep.
Especially because, like, I don't think Dalton Schultz, like, he's Dalton Schultz isn't somebody I'm expecting to have a lot of interest in, but, like, he's not going away, and they still want to run the ball on early downs, and they brought in Joe Mixon. Like, I think that's going to be so fascinating if Stroud has a good to great year, but not, like, a historic season. Just what, because I think 90% of people believe fully that it's Collins is the unquestioned one, but then it's just like that's why I have Diggs lower, because his time in Buffalo, there's four seasons there, he averaged 160 targets per year, and the highest target share for the second option in that passing game was 17%. It was Cole Beasley, like 17%. That's it. It's a different situation for sure.
Right. And I would say I definitely have Nico as the number one wide receiver. I wouldn't, you said it just a little bit more certainly than I would. I would not be surprised if Tank is the best wide receiver.
Okay. And yeah, like, I just think the connection that those three had is why I'm lower on Diggs as well. Not that he's right. And I also, this is also coming from somebody who doesn't fully believe he's, like, washed because of the second half of last season. He's obviously, I would say, declining. But there, and look, you know this, Heath. You're talking to the largest Josh Allen fan on the planet right here. He missed Steph on a couple easy, like, 70-yard touchdowns. And if those connect and he just doesn't barely overthrow them, maybe there's a different talking point about Steph going into the season.
And he also threw one perfectly right through.
Yeah, that was one of the best throws I've ever seen. We don't talk about the team they were playing that game, though, because that team has tormented me enough. And I'm surprised I even want to talk to you anymore after all these years of what your team has done to my team. But that's for...
It's been a good time.
So in tier four, like, a lot of people would probably... We're wondering where Drake London's been. Are you lower on him than consensus? Is it just he kind of belongs in this tier because similar to it's somewhat similar. He's obviously not been quite as good, but like where it's been like Garrett Wilson, like we haven't quite seen that ceiling yet. Are you worried about the 40-year-old Kirk Cousins coming off the Achilles? Like what is it that has you, if you are, lower on Drake London?
Yeah, I had London. I'm definitely lower on Drake London. I'm not as lower as I was. I had him at the end of this tier. Seeing Cousins moving around as well as Cousins really does has made me feel a little bit better about this situation. I'm not entirely sure it's going to be a super pass happy offense, or that London's just going to completely dominate targets. Like you say, it's fair to say with both Wilson and London, we're expecting a lot more because they're getting a quarterback upgrade, but Drake London hasn't been close to as good as Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
And I don't know that he's necessarily played with worst quarterbacks. Drake London hasn't been as good as George Pickens in terms of like actually producing fantasy points. And I think he's maybe played in an equal environment, if not a little bit worse. So I just think I keep London and Pickens. I go back and forth, but I keep those two guys like really in a very similar spot.
Anybody else in this tier you want to mention? You mentioned Metcalf, Amari Cooper.
There are a couple of boring guys that I think I didn't say when I was going through it. So that I didn't qualify as many names as I gave. there were actually two more. I've got Christian Kirk and Chris Godwin in here as well.
Okay, so I was actually wondering about Kirk. I'm really high on Godwin this year. Talk to me about those two veterans because, like you mentioned, like, I guess for me, it's different. Like I'm legitimately like thrilled when I draft these players. But a lot of people are like, okay, I'll take it. But, I've talked about Godwin on this podcast a lot. He is quite literally maybe my favorite player to draft in fantasy right now. His ADP has climbed a little bit. And then Kirk, people forget because it was like 2 years ago now and they had Ridley last year, but this is a team that's like lined him up out of the backfield a ton, getting him against linebackers. And I think we're going to see that again this season. Plus the fact that, what was it? Calvin Ridley had 24 end zone targets last year. He was like towards the top of the NFL. They have a tight end who's going to get 80 plus catches in Evan Ingram, but he has not been a touchdown producer. What if a handful of those end zone looks go to Kirk and he has eight? Because Trevor Lawrence also is due for positive touchdown regression. He had some awful luck there.
Yeah, for sure. And they had like they had that weird game at the start of the year. I don't know if you remember it because I was a big Christian Kirk backer last year. I actually when he had he and Calvin Ridley. I had he and Calvin Ridley like tied at the hip in the rankings, and we come out week one, and Ridley's the clear number one, and it was one catch for 9 yards on 3 targets for Christian Kirk, and then he had the game at the end of the season where he played one offensive snap and he got hurt and didn't play. But those 10 games in the middle, it was 8 targets a week, a 1,300-yard pace in terms of receiving yards. He was flat out better than Calvin Ridley over that stretch. Now Calvin Ridley's gone. I think Brian Thomas Jr. is going to be pretty great, but not early in the year. And so I just view Kirk as kind of like maybe what Deontay Johnson was earlier in his career in Pittsburgh, where you're probably going to just count on averaging around 9 targets a game, and he's going to be a PPR star. And then Godwin's just back in the slot in a more comfortable position. And I think a very good number three wide receiver that could might just fall into top 20 production.
Yeah, his target share and target per out run rates weren't even that far behind Mike Evans. It's just Mike Evans scored touchdowns. Chris Godwin scored twice on 130 targets. But the good news is both of his only 2 touchdowns came in the slot where he averaged his yards per out run was better. And I just think, like, if you're getting 130 targets again from Chris Godwin, not that he's ever been this massive touchdown producer, you're getting 6-7 touchdowns. Unless it's just Deontay Johnson all over again and you get 0 somehow. Which would be just absolutely the worst. But I'm also pretty high on both those players. I think with Jackson was also interesting, like, who the hell is going to call plays? Because it's been Peterson, right. It's been Press Taylor. Like, I think the last time I looked, they still aren't even sure who, if it's going to be, if it, it could be both again. But I also just expect, like I mentioned, Trevor Lawrence to throw for some more touchdowns. Let's get into some more tiers. But first, got to talk about Circa, once again sponsoring the For the Numbers podcast. Again, football season right around the corner, which means the largest pro football contests in Vegas are back. Circa Survivor and Circa Millions are now up to a record $16 million in guaranteed prizes. There's 2 ways to win and 0 rake. Circa Survivor contestants select one team each week with no point spread, last the longest to win it all with $10 million guaranteed. With Circa Millions, make 5 picks against the spread each week for your share of $6 million guaranteed through quarterly and full season payouts. Enter in Nevada or play from anywhere. Visit circusports.com for details. What are we on? Tier 5 here, Heath? It's tier 6. I don't even know.
It's a bit, we were in different places for different people, I think. We're on my tier 5.
Yeah. So is this also a tier that has 10 to 12 to 15 wide receivers, or is a little bit more spread out?
We're pretty much approaching the every tier is a mega tier at this point. But I've got Terry McLaurin, Zay Flowers, Rashee Rice, Marquise Brown, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, and Calvin Ridley, Deontay Johnson, Keenan Allen, Malik Nabers, and Ladd McConkey.
Yeah, so this will probably be easier to just talk about who are you the highest on in that tier? Because a lot of the players I have are the same. For me, it would probably be I do like Zay Flowers a lot. Did you say T. Higgins?
T. Higgins was in my last tier.
Okay, that's what I thought. So I'm the same, so I wasn't sure. I like Zay Flowers. I know a lot of people worried about his splits with Andrews last season. Are you like, is he up there in this tier for you? Or is it just everybody's kind of so closely together? Because I know you do projections too, so I'm sure that's part of it.
Right. Yeah. I have McLaurin and Rice are the top two, and then Flowers would be third in this tier. And I'm starting to think that Rashee Rice should probably just be in the tier above. Like every day we get closer to the season and he's not suspended and there's really no talk of him being suspended, I start to think, man, what if he just plays 17 games and he's a top 15 wide receiver and we all look dumb? So Rice is the guy who probably separates himself, but then McLaurin, Flowers, Reed, and it has been Calvin Ridley for most of the summer, but man, everything you see right now sounds like it's DeAndre Hopkins is still the clear wide receiver one there.
Yeah, I was actually at Washington's training camp yesterday, and it was Jaden Daniels. Like, it was obviously the only time I was there, and I thought he looked fantastic. And then a bunch of the beat reporters from Washington said it was his best day at camp. and just watching, A, you saw it in college. The deep ball he had was fantastic. He was the best deep ball passer in college football last season. And then I'm watching it live, throwing a beautiful deep ball over the shoulder down the sideline to Alamide Zaccheaus, who's in this tier for me, obviously. But Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson, they were constantly, like, it's going to be a massive part of this offense. Like, you can clearly see that in training camp and practice. They are going to throw the ball deep a ton. And Terry McLaurin, in my opinion, but just, you know, the analytics probably back it up to some extent, but just based off watching him throughout his entire career, I think he is one of the best deep ball wide receivers in the NFL. I think his body control is better than almost anybody. And to have a quarterback that can consistently put it right on the money, yeah, they've been speaking so highly of that, and I think that's going to be a huge part of their offense. And if you're looking for the post-hype sleeper, like, he is – Jaden Daniels and Jahan Dotson have had really nice rapport. So I'm all in on this Washington passing attack. I think Jaden Daniels has looked fantastic. For me in this tier, like, Zay Flowers, I look at Baltimore, and yes, the splits with Andrews obviously weren't as friendly. The target share actually wasn't that low. It's just the overall fantasy production wasn't as high. But Zay Flowers was in one of those roles, too, we mentioned all the time, where scheme touches, a lot of it for a huge part of the season was like, okay, he's getting the scheme touches. Can we get anything down the field? He had 21 deep targets last season, only caught 9. And for whatever reason, him and Lamar Jackson just missed on like 3 to 5 long, long passes, which if those connect, he probably gets 1,000 yards his rookie season. Maybe a couple of them turn into touchdowns. His catchable deep ball rate or air yard rate was 55%. Like, if that regresses, and we also saw Baltimore, they were top 7 in early down pass rate in Todd Monken's first season. It was actually their highest neutral or early down pass rate in 15 years. So they're still going to be run first as much as anybody in the league, but they're a little bit more aggressive passing on early downs, which I think will help Zay Flowers.
Yeah, I think like that's kind of where this group is, though. Like, I could see a breakout and the guy becomes a top 20 option, or in the older guys like Hopkins and Allen's case, it's more like they're still top 20 and we just wrote them off for dead for no reason. But also, the floor feels like almost non-existent, because if you tell me that Derrick Henry is going to run the ball 300 times and Lamar is going to run it 120 and Mark Andrews is going to see a 25% target share, that doesn't really leave any room for Zay Flowers to be good, even if he gets the positive regression.
You had Ladd McConkey in this tier. He is what, your third? Does that make him your third rookie wide receiver?
He's right behind Neighbors. So yes.
I mean, I doubt anything from Chargers camp has made you, come off that take, because A, Quentin Johnson's not playing when they're in 11 personnel, which is just yikes. And then every time I open Twitter, I see Ladd McConkey. There was one against Derwin James the other day. He had a rep, and it's just like, well, and I don't know if I talked to you about this when I was on the CBS Dynasty pod last week, but everybody's saying this team's going to run the ball 700 times and just be insanely run heavy, which, yes, at their core, that's what they want to do. And Greg Roman in the past has established the run and had some of these best top-tier run offenses in the league. But he's also had the personnel. Like, he's had Baltimore. He's had San Francisco. He's had Buffalo. Elite defenses during those seasons. You had guys like LeSean McCoy, and you had really good backfields in San Francisco and Baltimore. I don't know if he has the personnel or the defense to do that exactly to the extent that everybody seems to think. And if Ladd McConkey's emerges as the wide receiver one, yeah, I mean, we all still think Justin Herbert's good, right?
Right. And when we get to the next tier, the guy at the very top in terms of projections would be Josh Palmer.
I like Palmer too.
Like, the only reason I have McConkey ahead in a tier above Palmer is because I think that there is a lot more upside if everything goes right. The median expectation might be that Palmer is actually going to score more fantasy points, but it's probably in like a low end wide receiver three way. So we're just not that excited about it. But I think like that's the key. I don't really think that you can be the number two wide receiver in this offense. I think the other thing that's really interesting is, and we're talking about wide receivers today, but like the other thing that the Greg Roman offense has done other than run and run and run some more is there's been a pretty enormous tight end target share. Mm-hmm. And we're just not drafting any of their tight ends.
That is really interesting that you bring that up, because the Chargers have kind of been like one of the most talked about teams in fantasy because everybody wants to know what the backfield looks like. I see something about Dobbins and Edwards every day on Twitter. I already mentioned the receivers we're all talking about. And like, I understand, I guess, because like, are we really expecting a huge season from, you know, what are they? They have Hayden Hurst now. They still have, why am I drawing up? Donald Parham Jr.
They have, Will Disley, Hayden Hurst, Donald Parham, Stone Smart. Those are their tight ends.
Donald Parham Jr. too, like last year, like if you came out and said somebody said he's definitely playing 70% of snaps, you would start him almost every week because he makes plays and he can score. But like he was always at like 30-40% at most. It is interesting though, because like it's probably going to be a committee, but that is interesting. We're not even really talking about Herbert that much. We're just talking about everything in between. But I do think they're actually one of the most polarizing teams in fantasy because of the value that can be had. I mean, while we're on it, I mean, Josh Palmer, I like him too. Look back since 2021, he's averaging 11.9 PPR points per game in the contest where they've been either without either Mike Williams or Keenan Allen. And then last year it was just about 12 fantasy points per game, which would have been like wide receiver 36 in fantasy last year. So like, and like we, you know, projections wise, a lot of us probably expect and project Ladd to lead the team in targets, but I don't think it's going to be by like an insane amount over Josh Palmer if Palmer can stay healthy. And B, what if it's Palmer? Like, right. What if it's just Palmer? And I think he could score more touchdowns too. So he has been climbing my rankings quite a bit. There is one player, and maybe he's in this next year for you as we segue, Heath. We haven't talked about yet, which feels wrong on a fantasy football podcast here in the month of July that's been dominated by Jameson Williams.
Yeah.
Where is he? I mean, he's obviously going to be 25% target share, 1,000 yards, right?
He is in the next tier for me. And I think like that tier is, I mentioned Josh Palmer was in it. And so is Cortland Sutton. I think those guys are they're probably going to be a borderline wide receiver three. And I have a hard time making myself care. And then the rest of the tier are these guys that if it's one of your guys, it's you just wait until Jameson Williams, you see him this year, or Jaxon Smith-Njigba, or Rome Odunze, or Xavier Worthy, or Jordan Addison, or Brian Thomas, or Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
Like, I think like those just complete and total dart throws, but still like the difference between them and everybody else, because honestly, after this next tier, I'm not sure how much I really care about anybody else. But this, like the difference between these guys is like, we do believe if they hit, they still have league altering upside.
I'm starting to think that, and yeah, a lot of the rookies, like you mentioned, are in this tier. I moved Curtis Samuel up a lot recently from the reports in Buffalo. Like, and that's with Keon Coleman. Again, I don't want to get too excited, but he's looked really good. But the way they're talking about how Curtis Samuel, A, is playing with Josh Allen, and B, the utilization everywhere. And my concern, as much as I like Khalil Shakir all this time, has been I don't think he's going to play when they're in 12. And they're probably going to go 12 at one of the higher rates in the NFL. So I think Curtis Samuel has clearly cemented himself as the top receiver to draft in Buffalo. But yeah, like I think you can put all three Bills receivers this tier if you really wanted to. I probably wouldn't. I probably have Shakir behind Coleman and Samuel. And yeah, like you can, like I would also have Rashid Shaheed in this tier. I do like him because, like, early in the summer, I was really excited about Jameson Williams. You had the fact that he finally had normal offseason where he wasn't coming off the ACL, wasn't suspended. Josh Reynolds is gone. You have all these, you know, 14 games indoors. I was like, okay, this is really exciting. And then all of a sudden weeks go by and this guy's going like the 7-8 turn in underdog drafts. I'm like, I can't do that. Like Rashid Shaheed goes in the 9th, 10th round. What are we doing here? And Rashid Shaheed has a much better chance of getting 100 targets.
Yeah. Yeah. I have Shaheed a tier behind Jameson Williams, okay. But like you'd have a hard time finding someone who believes less in Derek Carr
it's fair.
Than I do. And he had seems like he had a pretty decent pass to 100 targets last year.
Also,
and
fair.
He ended up with 75 in 15 games. So I'm not anti Rashid Shaheed. I think he's probably round 7-8 for Jameson Williams is absurd. And that shouldn't be happening. And that's not where I would be drafting him, even with this tiering one spot ahead of Shaheed. I just kind of feel like when Shahid goes, I don't normally think that's a value. I was like, yeah, that's probably about right.
Yeah, and obviously he played a handful of games alongside Michael Thomas and Olave. Michael Thomas obviously last year wasn't a great player, but he was getting like 7-8 targets a lot of those games. So I would probably say he can get up to like 90 targets this season for Shahid. Cortland Sutton's a player you mentioned too, where I've struggled to rank him personally because from a projection, clear alpha on the team perspective, he could make the case he should be in a higher tier because player that produced last year, scored touchdowns, is, in my opinion, a good player and is competing for targets with Marvin Mims, who was barely used last season, Troy Franklin, who's like not even starting right now, you know, Tim Patrick, if he's healthy, like
Josh Reynolds.
Yeah, and Josh Reynolds is there. And it's like, I should probably move him up. But then it's like, I don't think I can because I don't, you know, comfortably, I don't want to move him ahead of some of the guys in the other tier, like we mentioned, like Ladd. Like the Green Bay receivers, I also want to ask you about. You had Reed and Watson in the last tier we talked about. Jaden Reed, somebody I'm just not drafting, but I do believe he still belongs in that tier.
Yeah, I can't say that I've actually drafted Packers receivers much at all. It seems like in every league you're in, there's a Jaden Reed guy and a Christian Watson guy and a Wicks guy. And Dobbs for me is kind of like what you were talking about with Cortland Sutton. Like he's probably going to outscore my projection and he's going to outscore my ranking. But if I rank him at wide receiver 65 and he finishes at wide receiver 55, do I really
care? He is literally NFC Gabe Davis, except better in the red zone. Like he's going to be a 90% snap guy, most likely.
Really good football players, really good football players, but not the best fantasy football assets.
Like, and you look at the reason I'm lower on Jaden Reed, other than the fact that like the target share is in the, I think it was weeks 4-11 when Christian Watson was healthy. Like Reed was third in target share on the team and the red zone targets, like it wasn't even close. It was Watson and Dobbs. They were both like top 10 in the NFL during that stretch. Reed gets those scheme touches, the reverses and stuff like that. And it was great to see in the first season without Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur finally got to use pre-snap motion because Rodgers just hates it. They went up, their pre-snap motion went from like bottom 20 to like top 12 last year. But for me, if I'm gonna draft anybody, I'll just say, you know what? It's middle to later rounds. I don't know if he's going to be able to stay healthy, but if he does, Christian Watson is just going to be flat out better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that the thing that would make me feel a lot better about Jaden Reed is if somebody from the coaching staff would come out and say, this has changed, and now he plays in two wide receiver sets. Because the Packers don't play a very high rate of three wide receiver sets, and he just like did not play in two wide receiver sets last year. And if Watson's healthy all year, he's definitely not going to.
Yeah, and like so, those tight ends like Musgrave and Kraft, like they weren't even healthy together very often. Like they both had multiple injuries. So for me, it's like I'm not going to draft saying I have to draft somebody from Green Bay, but it's hasn't been Jaden Reed. Other tiers, other players we haven't mentioned, some players like, you know, Jacoby Myers, like where does he kind of fall? Jahan Dotson, like I mentioned, Josh Downs is kind of getting some steam. He's been, you know, a lot of his metrics look pretty good. Jerry Jeudy, a lot of players that you're not really probably starting unless you have bye weeks. But obviously, like this is where you get to start looking at some of the players that could be sleepers. Xavier Leggett's looked pretty good in camp, and I'm a believer in Bryce Young bouncing back. Jalen Polk has an opportunity to be the number one wide receiver on an NFL team. That has to matter at some point.
So I think you kind of have, whether you're tiering however you want to up until this point, and you kind of have to split the guys up into probably going to score more fantasy points than we're drafting them like, but we just don't care.
Right.
Or probably going to get cut, but I have hope for some reason. And that's generally for me, the rookies that are left. Leggett, you mentioned, A.D. Mitchell, Jalen Polk, Roman Wilson. I'm kind of losing faith in Troy Franklin for this year. Rashad Bateman, because the coaches are saying nice things about him. Mike Williams, if he ever gets healthy. And then, like, I can't believe we haven't even said his name yet because it's completely disrespectful based on his career. Tyler Lockett.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't drafted him yet. I don't really want to, but we should at least say his name. Marvin Mims. But we're really just, like you said, Jahan Dotson earlier. It's just,
I mean,
like,
Lockett clearly has the best path to actually be in starting lineups consistently of this group, right?
I mean, he had the most targets on Seattle last year, right?
Yeah, he's just like after being like, he was pretty much like maybe not as good, but like he was essentially Brandon Ayuk before Brandon Ayuk, just getting, he was just like the most efficient wide receiver on the planet with Russell Wilson. And he was good Geno's first year when he broke out, and last year just fell off a cliff, like just absolutely the, and that's not what you obviously want to see for somebody that's now at the age he's at, right. but like, he's not coming off the field.
Right. And that's the, like, he better, or this whole theory of JSN is going that's to true. Blow up in our faces in a hurry. But yeah, so that's kind of like what we're left with now. Is what do you want to use to tell yourself a story about why this guy might not be dropped by week four?
Yeah. I think that we don't have to sit here and talk about, you know, make cases for, although he has been getting some buzz, you know, guys like Jalen McMillan in that tier.
For best ball purposes, I think Gabe Davis should probably be drafted higher than most of these guys. He's probably going to have a stretch early in the season, especially where he's seeing more red zone targets than we would like.
Yeah, I mean, I think Brian Thomas Jr. actually could lead this team in end zone targets year one, just because of his skill set and how good he is mm-hmm. in college at like understanding where the sideline was. But he also has to get on the field. Like, I think he will eventually, but like, Gabe Davis is one of those players that the reason that he was so up and down for fantasy, because he's not somebody you scheme targets for. It was actually interesting. Like, Jacksonville talked about using him in many different ways, which I was like, really? Have you watched him? Like I was surprised. But the reason he plays so much is because he's a good vertical route runner. Not great, but good. And I was like half joking, but not really. When they signed him, I was like, this is great news for Travis Etienne, because he is an awesome run blocking wide receiver. Like, he's, that's why he plays 90% of the snaps those last couple years in Buffalo. And yeah, like, I think that's going to keep on the field. I think Davis should be in this.
That's one thing that scares me actually about your Bills, is because I do think they're going to be, well, everybody's talked about it, they're going to be more run heavy mm-hmm. than they've been in past seasons, kind of like they were in the second half of last year is my expectation. And who's their best run blocking wide receiver right now?
That's probably a huge reason why I honestly think, and I follow a lot of Bills, a lot of sites that cover the Bills. The second they signed Matt Collins, they started showing clips of him run blocking. I think that was literally what they saw when they signed Matt Collins.
Well, I was thinking of MVS.
Well, MVS isn't going to make the team. I really don't think he's going to make the team. There was,
he's really good at blocking.
He is, and that's why he was next that came to my mind. But then once, they love Matt Collins. They love him.
Okay.
So I think, and there was a report that came out that like MVS isn't even in their top five wide receivers right now. Like, I'd be stunned if it wasn't Matt Collins, but still, like, that means Matt Collins has to be on the field. And then I'm actually starting to worry about Khalil Shakir, and it makes me so mad because I love him and he makes plays, but can only have so many wide receivers in the field. So,
yeah.
That'll do it though. I think real quick before we get out of here though, while we're on receivers and we can sprinkle in some quarterbacks, we got some contract extensions, not from Dallas, obviously. I do want to get your opinions, and we can spend this dynasty too if you want. Dynasty redraft, more so dynasty when it comes to contracts. But Tua Tagovailoa, Jordan Love, and then yesterday DJ Moore get massive contract extensions. What are your thoughts on all three? I think the DJ Moore one, clearly he's a huge part of their plans. He'll be there, what, through 2028, almost 2029? And then the quarterbacks, like, obviously quarterbacks are getting paid every month now, but Jordan Love, what, the now highest paid quarterback in NFL history. It's interesting. Like, Jordan Love was awesome last season, but it was for like half a year. And then Tua has been great in that system, but then he's had his games against top competition and when the weather gets cold where he kind of falls apart. But thoughts on these contract extensions? Dynasty-wise, obviously, just solidifies, you know, super flex formats. These guys are really good dynasty assets. But overall thoughts?
I am kind of in a minor, because another guy got paid this year is Trevor Lawrence.
Yep.
And really a very similar range. And I think that's fitting because for fantasy football purposes, I have Love and Tua and Lawrence and Purdy just kind of in a big group. And you look at ADP, especially over at CBS.
What about Jared Goff? Love
he's right behind them.
Also got extended, but yeah.
Yeah. But if you look at ADP, Love goes like five rounds before these guys, or four rounds before.
I don't think I agree. I don't think it should be that much of a gap, especially now that they're all extended. Oh, well, Purdy will be, but.
Right. And I guess it's just like, I don't actually believe there's any way that there's 15 or 16 quarterbacks that deserve to be, teams should be paying this percentage of the cap. It's like the bottom four, whoever you think that is, their teams are probably going to be disappointed. We all have different theories on that. But I do think that when you look at the difference between the contract and the ADP, there's a lot more upside for Tua and Lawrence being drafted in the after pick 100 or after in the double digit rounds than there is for Love in round 7 or 8. And I don't think there's going to be much difference in their production. I think for dynasty purposes, you said it perfectly. Like, it just gives you that stability. And my dynasty rankings, I don't have a big difference between those four that I said and Dak. Obviously, the difference is Purdy and Dak don't have the contract.
Does Purdy get one before Dak?
I don't know exactly what I assume the Cowboys have some sort of plan.
Maybe they don't know that the season starts this year. Maybe they think the NFL season somehow they're taking the year off and they can just do all this stuff later. Like,
I mean, if you told me that the Joneses are in we're going to make Dak prove he's worth it again. And that if he has a slightly disappointing year or a bad wild card game in the playoffs, they're just going to let him walk. I guess I could believe that.
Just insane. The process they've had this summer. Especially after saying they're all in and then just doing nothing to suggest that. And DJ Moore, real quick, we didn't really talk about him in the tiers, but where does he kind of, for Dynasty, does this move him for you? Because 27, coming off an awesome season, has been really productive despite less than stellar quarterback play. They add Caleb Williams. Obviously, Keenan Allen's there. We all kind of expect it to be just this year for Keenan Allen, most likely. And then you're locked in there for the next 4 years with Moore, Rome, and Caleb Williams. I mean, DJ Moore, like, 27 is not old by any means, and coming off I tweeted yesterday, but our FTN Stats Hub, our advanced Stats Hub that's been revamped, you can check out. EPA per target among wide receivers last season, it was Collins, Ayuk, and then DJ Moore.
He's supremely talented, and it does move him just a little bit. It gives a little bit, like, there's some risks just being on the Bears and having a rookie quarterback, and Rome Odunze is awesome and Keenan Allen's awesome. So there's some risks that we don't get quite the fantasy production that matches the talent. I think for me, the best way to view him is like a borderline number two wide receiver in both redraft and dynasty, with top 12 upside and redraft on a year to year basis.
Yeah. I think, also, that's a team too with Shane Waldron. Like, they're probably going to run a lot more 12, especially after one of their first moves was to sign Gerald Everett. Is Keenan Allen not on the field in 12?
Can you? Okay, but how could that? That's the thing that's so weird, and it's almost like they just didn't
establish veteran who's been one of the most productive receivers of the last decade, just not on the field for a rookie.
DJ Moore every year of DJ Moore's career,
right? And it's like, is he really not going to be on the field over? I love Rome Odunze. He's literally my favorite player in the draft. But is he really knocking him on the field over a rookie? It's crazy.
I would assume that Rome's not going to be on the field early in the year in three wide receiver sets.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I can't wait. That's why I can't wait for preseason. I can't wait to see like who's running in 12.
But none of those guys are going to play.
You're right. But I mean, just in general, like who's in terms of schematically, who's going to be on the field for certain teams in 12 personnel, 11 personnel, which players, when teams are starting all of their running backs, who's going to be on the field third down. And we'll overreact to it most likely together. So, Heath, appreciate the time as always. Tell everybody again what's going on at CBS Fantasy, where they can follow you and find all of your work.
It's always a good time to talk to you, Adam. Thank you for having me. You can find me on Twitter at Heath Cummings SR. You can find Fantasy Football Today and Fantasy Football Today Dynasty anywhere you can find a podcast. You can find us on the CBS Sports Network 3 times a week this season. I'll be on Wednesdays, so that'll be lots of fun. And you can find all of my written content over at CBS Fantasy.
Awesome stuff. We'll close out the week here on the podcast with the running back position and then go into the weekend. And soon we'll have actual preseason football pretty much almost every day of the week. Thanks for listening. As always, for Heath, I'm Adam. We'll talk to you guys next time. Peace.